He's at a place, though, seriously, where you just want more of him. You know, I wake up and I'm saying, God, I just desperate. And you hear of other people that are, I don't know, going to the heavenlies and doing, and I'm going, God, I'm so desperate for more of your presence. I really am a desperate one. Wow. I'm just going to share about the prophetic word with Bob Jones because it really fits into my message. But I don't know whether you heard Bob Jones 10 years ago prophesied that if the Chiefs in Kansas City, the Super Bowl, if they won, that was a sign of God starting to move in miracles. And I felt it. And the Chiefs have not won for 50 years. And on, I don't know what day, Monday, Tuesday, the Chiefs won. And they come from way behind. And it was like, it was just a miracle. But, you know, God works in signs and wonders. And our Chiefs won too. But it was like God is saying, this is the time for the miraculous. I was listening to an amazing preacher and he said, I was in a church where people were miraculously healed. He said, blind, there was a child that had every disease and everything wrong with it in a wheelchair. Couldn't see, couldn't hear, couldn't talk, couldn't walk. And he said, I saw his eyes turn brown. I saw his ears being opened that he could talk. He got out of his chair and he walked and he could talk. And he said, this happened just all the time. This was right back in 1957. And he said, the next move of God is going to be greater. But, you know, get prepared for what's to come. And I'm going, I believe it was something in my spirit. I know we're in the time for God and miracles. And I'm seeing it as I'm in Chartwell. You know, I speak into people's lives and they get touched by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I ask God for opportunities every day to share him. You know, we've got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in us. We should be shining with the glory of the presence of God. We should be a light that you know, moths go to a light. It's like if you've got a moth in a room, turn another light on. But it's like moths come to the light. But it's like people will come to the light. Wow. Because we have the answer. Holy is his name. Holy is his name. Whoa. Hallelujah. We're just going to Acts 2. And this is the days we're in. In verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days. We are in the last days. And we all know the scripture. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Even our ones that are backslidden, they're going to prophesy. Hallelujah. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men dream dreams. And on my men servant and on my maid servant, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, and we're seeing it. Signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. That has already happened. Before the coming of the Lord, the becoming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's my part. God wants to anoint us and fill us to overflowing with his presence. And there's going to be many that are going to come in to the harvest. Hallelujah. I remember I was at a Jill Austin meeting in Gateway. Wow. But Jill Austin was, I just loved Jill Austin and what she carried. And she was really, she was preaching, and somehow I just, in the middle of a preaching, it wasn't even an altar call, I went down, boom. And I was on the floor. And I started to weep and weep because I was weeping for the lost. I saw hell. I saw its gates opening, and it was like people were just sliding in. They could not come back. And I heard the screams of people that are going to hell. And I remember that. And I'm going, God, we've got to be on this earth to lead people into the kingdom. But because it's like so many are going to hell. I was at my granddaughter's 21st, and my son said, "What did you think of the 21st party, Mum?" I said, "It was just beautiful. It was lovely." And then I said to him, who's backslidden, and out of my mouth it just flowed, but I said, "The saddest thing, Andrew, 90% are going to hell. And 10% are going to heaven." There was 50 people in that room, and just something caught me, and I'm going, God, we've got to be awakened, because people are slipping into hell. But God has said there's going to be the biggest harvest that we've ever seen. Why this church got the name Harvest is a miracle. Because I was thinking of Elijah or the Bride of Christ, and I had all these names. And then I got up the next morning, I went to Clive, and God says, we had to call this church Harvest. So we haven't seen the harvest, but I believe this church is named because we're going to see harvest of souls. We will be out of here. We might even be down at where they play rugby. I don't know. I won't be the preacher. We never know, but it's like this name was Harvest. It never entered my head, but God spoke it out. You know, sometimes you get an audible, and it was like, whoa, I have to do this. And that is the name, and I just feel we're coming to that place now where we have to go out. Holy is the Lord. Wow. And you know, John 4:35b says, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already for harvest." In Matthew 9:37-38, then he, Jesus, said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers into his harvest." And I thought, Lord, let that, after this message, let us be the ones that are sent out. Laborers are few. How many times do you talk to people about Jesus, about salvation? We do fall short, don't we? We get busy and everything that the enemy wants us to get busy. But the most important thing, because life is for eternity. It's a whole eternity. And if we miss out doing things that don't matter, we're answerable in eternity. And if you want to stay in the world, I feel sorry for you. If you want to get caught up in things that take you away from Jesus, I feel sorry for you. Because one day you will stand before him and he will say to you, "I hope, good and faithful servant." And I believe, you know, God gives us the opportunities. I mean, I know some are called to be evangelists, but I believe every one of us. You know, I used to be the Open Brethren Church many, many years, but did they evangelize? And we used to have these great big evangelical meetings, and people got saved on "just as I am," without one plea. And I used to cry, and I used to go up just about on every altar. "Oh God, I want to be so saved." Billy Graham, you know, "just as I am." And I'm up there again. And one day God says, "You are truly saved, Trish. Just receive it." But God is saying, will you be one that will harvest? And this scripture in Proverbs 10:5, well, "He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. And I believe that's to the father. You know, each one of us are so unique in God. Some of you can reach people that I can't reach people. We are so different. Joanne goes up to the hospital. She walks amongst the sick. She's there and she's happy and the glory of God is on her. But God is using her. You see, sometimes it's not even words. It's what we do and how we show love that people say, what is it that you've got? I know that I don't think you're allowed to share about the gospel, but you walk it, you know, and times we can't share, but we can walk it and we can show love. Some Christians are really quite miserable and look like lemons, but God wants us to shine with his glory. It's true, isn't it? It's so true. Well, there's so many people who desperately need to know Jesus. They'll be lost for eternity. When you dwell on that, you know, praise God, my mother only got in by the skin of her teeth into heaven. The Lord said she's in the outer court, but when she just got in. She really just got in. My sister led her to the Lord. She only just got in. But she's in. And when you're in heaven, you get taught what we've already been taught down here. We get taught in heaven. Properly. Yeah. I really want to have a box here. But Liz is going out on Wednesday nights. She's feeding the poor. They're sharing the gospel. But she said she came in on Saturday. We were at coffee club. And she came running and sat down. She talked so loud, but she'd led five to the Lord by love. And, you know, and she'd give them out blankets and things and feed them. But they shared the gospel. And, you know, and I just think it'd be good for our church to help pay for the food on Wednesday night. Is that I think she said it was started off with 10, now it's 20, now it's 30. And there's about six of them that are feeding these poor. And I just said, well, as a church, we'll get behind. So next week I'll have a box. And if you want to give to just pay for the food and outreach, that would be awesome. Let's get behind her. So how vital for our church to go. In Acts 2:40, where am I? Acts 2, I'm in 3, sorry. And this is what, this really spoke to me, these scriptures, and I know we've read them lots. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. I'll just have a drink. And perverse is wicked. And this, the generation of what we're in now is perverse. We are a goat country now, not a sheep country. We are denying God in so many ways. And as Noel spoke, cannabis is one, but there's euthanasia, there's abortions, where there's a Jezebel leading our country. And we need to pray. And God, but this is what God is saying. Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized that day, and 3,000 souls were added to them. They were on fire. They didn't want to be in the ways of the world. They wanted to be on fire. And they multiplied, and they continually, steadfastly, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Someone's talked about fear. Then fear came upon every soul. The fear of God came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now, all who believed were together and had all things in common. That is what God is saying. In this church, we've got to be all in one accord and in unity and in oneness in the Spirit of God. But they were all in one accord. Wow. Now, all who believed were together and had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had needed. So continually, daily, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. I'd love to see that. You know, people come and say, let's break bread today, Trish. Let's have communion today. Let's just talk about Jesus. Let's get filled and overflowing with the things of God. And they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. We just need to be simple, childlike. Praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I tell you, we are in the time of salvation of souls. And we cannot be media. We cannot be apathetic. We cannot sit down. We have to think, God, who can I touch today? I tell you what, any person you see that's limping or hurting or you know they've got sickness, if you go over to them and say, can I pray for you? Every person says yes. I've never had a no. And they feel the anointing. I prayed for a lady at the table just the other day. Oiled her. I thought God said, get out your oil. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, have you got oil in your bag? Oh, yes. But she was a Christian. So that's why God said, get the oil out, I believe, because I listened to what he's saying. But she just said, and she had tears running down her face. She felt the love of the Father. She felt love, that someone cared. You know, we go through pain in our bodies. We don't know what each person goes through. And I find when I lay hands on people, the tears come. And that's good because it shows that we are like Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I've just read that, haven't I? Yes, I have. Your godly fear needs to come. And then verse 43, then fear came upon every soul. And I love this. Many wonders, signs were done. Isn't that amazing? And that's what God's saying. Every day, sign and a wonder. Let's be a sign and a wonder. And I love it because do you know how this all came apart? They were... Chapter 2, verse 1, they were all in the upper room, praising God, hallelujah, all in one accord. They loved Jesus, they were there. It was 120, 121. I'll add an extra. I don't know. I'll be there. And what happened? The wind of the Spirit came into the room. I'd love it. I'd love to see the wind just come on all of you, your hair standing up on end, and the wow. And then the fire came on them, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues. Who loves speaking in tongues? Be filled and overflowing. I love it. My husband's always in tongues, and sometimes he's in the other room, and I go, what are you saying? What are you saying? And he said, I'm just in my heavenly language. So he's always, so now I just think, oh, he's just off in heavenlies. He's just gone, you know. And it's like, but they were all in one accord. The fire, and I believe there's going to be a bigger Pentecostal movement than ever, where God's going to visit us and we're going to be one accord. Oh, I want to be wonderful. It's today. I just feel the anointing. I just feel God just saying, I want to use every one of you and I want to touch you with fire and the glory. Hallelujah. Is that it? And we need to acknowledge that the power of the Holy Spirit is within us. You know, I was in the Baptist church, the Brethren, for years and years and years. And it wasn't until I was 33 And we were not allowed to pray anything about the Holy Spirit, and tongues were so evil. Anyway, my marriage had broken up. I was a mess. They couldn't help me. They didn't know what to do with us. They had no idea. So someone gave me Dennis Bennett's book, 9 o'clock in the morning, How to Be Baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I said, God, well, they're dead. The elders don't even know how to pray for us. There's got to be something more. It's like, you know, I loved them, don't get me wrong. I'm not putting them down. They loved me. Ever since I was a little girl, they loved me. And I speak highly. But they didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. And I read this book. And I was sitting in my lounge. And I prayed the prayer. And I was so filled to overflowing, I didn't know what had hit me. It was like, whoa, and I was getting these words, and I got into discernment straight away, and I didn't have wisdom with discernment. I'd just say, have you got a problem with alcohol? Have you got a problem with the sexual realm? Have you got a problem? And you just didn't do that, but I was just getting these words, and I didn't know what to do with them until I was taught. But the spirit of deliverance came on me that very moment. And then I said, oh, I'm not allowed to speak in tongues. But the next day I thought, God, I'm gonna read the last chapter. I'm going to read it. Anyways, so I did the prayer for tongues, and it said, just go like a baby. And I was going, goo, ga, ga, ba, ba, goo, ga, ga. And then all of a sudden, and then I was singing in the Spirit, and then I was praising God in the Spirit. My kids had wondered what had happened to me, these three little ones going, Mom, what's happening? I said, it's the glory of God. They loved it. They saw Mum change out of misery of a broken marriage, and poor me. I was horrible. I remember someone coming up, if you keep... Clive wasn't around then, he said. But I was feeling so sorry for me. I really was. And someone said, if you don't start doing something, nobody's going to like you. And I'm going, oh, I need friends. And it was like, and then so that's when I got the book and think, I need something. I need the Holy Spirit. I need power. I need to be baptized. So I was baptized. I was drunk. I was, you know, in the brethren, you don't get drunk. And even in some Pentecostal churches, you don't get drunk. But I got drunk. Hallelujah. And I went to church and they said, what is happening to you? And there was about 12 people said, I want what you've got. And it wasn't cornflakes. And I said, come and I will tell you. This is new to me, but I was changed. And there was 12. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came like fire upon them. We had this group in the Brethren Church that were on fire. But they didn't know what to do with us. So we had to leave. So we went to the Baptist Central, Fred Crichton. Amazing. He understood us. He understood because I didn't understand. We're allowed to read Acts 2, but the fire came. Hallelujah. You know, I remember... Helen will remember this, but I was speaking it because I loved going out itinerant. Hell, because the Holy Spirit, some people end up shaking, rattling, and rolling. And anyway, I was at this church in Melbourne, and I said, Helen, there's no anointing here. I can't do this. And she said, come outside. So we walked around. She said, Trish, it's not about you. And I'm going, well, I'm the speaker. Can you remember what you said, Helen?
That it was all about him.
That's right.
And what he wanted to do.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, well, Trish had prayed for hours for people, yeah, and had literally been depleted, yeah, had nothing else to give. Yeah. But and the Holy Spirit just came on her.
Precious.
Whew. Precious. Whew, and it just fell on the people.
So when Helen said it's nothing about you, it's all about him. I'm going, that is so right. So I walked in there and I said, it's nothing about me. It's Holy Spirit. And they got the meeting on video. It was like the prophetic flowed. I was praying. I was prophesying. I was delivering deliverance. It was powerful. I even watched that sometimes and go, that's me. That's me. But I was feeling, you know, sometimes we feel like that, but God is saying, hey, remember it's him. Oh, I just have to keep an anointing. You know, the Lord, we know that we're in such darkness, and God doesn't want us to be dragged down by fear. You know, this virus thing that's going around, everybody's dying. But we have, just read Psalm 91, no pestilence is going to touch us. And I believe the church is going to shine, and we're going to carry the anointing, and we are going to be able to pray for them, and they will be healed. Don't let fear, it's not going to touch us. What does it say in Psalm 91? Yes, we know Psalm 91. His wings will cover us, but no pestilence. And it said, and right at the end, Clive's getting up, you will live.
Yeah. Because you have made the Lord my refuge, the Most High, no harm will come to you. No plague will come near your tent. That's your house. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to protect you in all your ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And you will live a long life. Doesn't it say it at the end? No, say it. It's good. Because they've got to hear it. They've got to hear it, Clive.
And I will satisfy him with a long life and show him my salvation.
So it's not your time to die, okay? And this virus is not going to touch you because God is watching over us. Wow. You know, I just love that scripture. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. And I just got, and I believe it's time for us to position ourselves and to let him be the center, to be totally on fire for him. He is the center. He is everything. And Well, we have to give his glory. You know, get the glory. You know, it says, rise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And I just feel every morning this week, just say, arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of God has risen upon me. Come, let's all say it now. Rise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon me. Isn't that wonderful? Because it says even if great darkness is in the world, and darkness is in this country, and we've got to pray, but we are going to rise and we're going to shine. And I've just got three questions that I'm going to... So are we ready for the harvest? I just want to end here. Are we ready for the harvest? Are we going to keep Jesus to ourselves? That's what we're doing. But he wants. You know, when the Holy Spirit came in the upper room, there was 120 Jesuses. And they went out, they healed the sick. They delivered people from demons. We're coming into a time where God is going to, you know, it's not going to be we sit down for hours of ministry. God is, I know this, when you get saved, you're going to get absolutely delivered and plastered and filled with the glory of God. And you're going to be a mouthpiece. I believe the ones that get saved could pass us if we're not careful. They'll be on fire. Remember when you were first saved? Mine was more on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was saved when I was 12, and it was just because my twin sister got saved, and I was scared that Jesus was going to come back and I was going to be left behind. And whenever I couldn't find Pauline, I'd go, "Mum, where's Pauline?" Because I knew Mum wasn't a Christian. "Where's Pauline? Where's Pauline?" "Oh, I don't know where Pauline is." Then when I see Pauline, I go, "Oh, thank goodness you're still here." So I went the next Sunday, and I said, "I want to know Jesus. I want to be like my twin sister. I want to know that I'm secure and that when the Lord returns, I'm going to go up." Hallelujah. So do people see Jesus in us? Do they see his love in us? And I just feel today, will you ask God for a heart for the lost? We're going to pray that. And will you intercede? And will you weep for the lost? Eternity is upon us. Don't waste time anymore. Seek the Lord, seek his face, seek his love for the lost. But we're just going to have quietness, and I just want you to ask that you want a heart for the lost. Just put your hands and say, "Lord, I want a heart for the lost. I want a call to evangelism. I want to lead my family into the kingdom. I want to lead people around me. Give me that heart. Break my heart." You know, our hearts get so hardened. God, break our hearts. Lord, all the hurts and pains has got us all bound up, but Lord, break our hearts this morning. Let us weep for the lost. Let us just see the lost. See their pain in their eyes. See their addiction. See what they're going through. And let us be hands of love. Let our hands, give your hands to the Lord. Say, "God, I give my hands to you," and let them be hands of love. Ones to lay hands on people for the sick, but some to just lay to be soft and loving. You know, little children to come unto me and just love on them. Little ones need to be saved. Little ones don't even know about Jesus. In this generation, they don't know Jesus. They don't know who he is. They don't know anything about him. They don't know what a Bible is. But God said that I've given it to you that you may give out with your hands.